DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic. Flopsy.
I think that what we need to take out of that is that you're a weird dude.
Your host, Robert Digital.
I think this is a worse idea than Evolve 2.
And
Smoochie.
How you doing?
I'm doing very sober.
Okay, cool.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I'm Bobby.
Hey, guys. This is Chad.
I'm Emilio.
And this is Chi. What's up?
All right. Chi, welcome back.
Yeah,
welcome back indeed. I am so happy to be back. I do apologize for missing out on all those previous streams. I am notorious for hiatuses. So, but back and hitting the ground running. So let's get some gaming in.
Yeah, you missed out Tag Loro
podcasting.
Oh yeah.
Thanks, Tag.
Thank you, Tag, by the way. I am truly apologetic that I missed you since coming back from vacation, a glorious vacation, by the way. I have just been playing catch up with every single element of my life, and shit was hitting the fan, and I'm so sorry I missed you. Hopefully you come back around soon so I won't miss you next time.
Ironically, that was the first time that Tag saved the day and wasn't the cause for needing the day saved.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
In other news, Chi is keeping her feet warm under my left butt cheek, but I'm going to say that's okay.
I'm sorry. Totally.
That is very. That's a warm spot.
Yeah,
I like to keep various things.
It might get warmer throughout periodically, but
it is very cold here in Bobby's studio tonight.
This is the coldest it's ever been. I like it personally.
Emil and I are loving it, and Chi can't stand
it. I'm freezing my ass off.
You need the little thing like they have with on front of the keyboard that keeps your hands warm and stuff.
Yeah, but like no one comes in here except for Chad wearing like crop top shirts and.
Yeah. Yeah, show off the guns.
Like side boot
win, right?
Exposed. Like the, so, yeah, it's chilly, believe me.
All right, we got some new Patreons. Dude, the Patreon support has been unbelievable.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Yeah, that's been awesome.
By the way, I feel like a lot of that is just only being invested into the podcast, so your money is just...
I hope all of it is.
It is.
Because if it isn't, I got some arguments with you guys.
Personally, we're all broke and poor and hungry in real life, but I'm sure that money is... it's going good places, guys.
99 out of, cents out of every dollar goes straight to my Coke habit.
It's like where my heel is going and...
Yep, you know, straight up
my ass.
Straight up his ass.
Thank you to Lance, Frank, and Steven. Steven might have got you last week, but I don't remember. So double shout out for Steven, maybe. Lance, Frank, and Steven, you know who you are. You know that you're special. Green special.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I see a lot of green people up on Discord.
Thank you so much.
All right. So we don't have anything under last week's errors.
I didn't actually listen to last week's because I didn't drive up to LA this week. So
yeah,
I didn't
listen. I'm sure there were errors.
I'm sure there were a ton.
The only reason Chad ever listens to our podcast is if he has a long drive.
Yeah.
Oh, usually listeners will point out things as well. But
well, this isn't last week's errors, but what last week did right, I did listen to the front end of the podcast, and I do appreciate that we changed the intro.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, thank you so much. I don't sound like a plug in our intro anymore.
Thank the guy who made it, who we can never remember.
Frubs.
Yeah.
Frubs.
Yes. I locked it into the memory bank now, so it's Frubs. Okay, I will always remember.
Yeah. You know, I thought for sure we'd hear something because we tried to explain multi-threading processes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I thought for sure somebody was good.
I thought LabMonkey would be all over that.
Yeah.
But moving on.
Oh, well.
All right. So on the radar, games coming up or games that we have our eye on. Tabletop Simulator. So I finally bought this. This is a game that somehow eluded my enormous game library for years. This is a tabletop simulator game where you can play all sorts of games. It looks like a VR game almost. But it has been brought up in Discord that there's a game night going on. We'll have to post this link somewhere where everyone can find it. But if you want to sign up for the game of the week, and it's going to be using Tabletop Simulator. We've done this before where we've played like Cards Against Humanity, or we've done Golf with Friends. You know, we're all just kind of like hanging out, having a good time, but we're playing a game too.
Boozing it up, probably.
Yeah. But thank you, Leap Milf, for setting this up. We'll find a place to post this. The game of the week this week is going to be Secret Hitler. I have no idea what that is, but we'll find
she
out.
Says it's an actual game, yeah. So we're not,
this is
we're
awesome.
Not being racist.
Not only will it allow you to get to know members of the Discord better, but it's also a way to explore different tabletops. Because when I think of tabletop games, I think of like full-on investments. The games I want to play at least cost me $30 out of pocket, and that's a hit or miss. Like, no one spends their time just but I just certainly don't spend my time trying to look up reviews for tabletop games. So this might be a good way to dabble and really fall in love with something. So thank you, Leap Milf, for
it's
doing
funny.
That.
Torrenting and Black Market wasn't happy with just digital content. They're like, fuck it. Let's go after the fucking Monopoly. Let's get them all. And so I'm looking forward to Mousetrap because I couldn't afford it as a kid.
Yeah, that was the expensive
one. I can't wait.
Oh, man. No cheese for the cheese.
Does anybody remember Boulder Dash?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one that had the boulder that rolled down the hill or whatever? Or is that a different one?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh,
Boulder Dash has boulder dash. In it? Yeah.
Well, Boulder Dash is also a word. I'm sorry. But ask your question. How does it work? Good question. I looked into it.
Yeah, cool.
So it's basically a physics-based engine that has a couple just baseline chess, checkers, pokers that comes with it.
Right.
And then they've got a modding set and a model importing set so people can start doing it. It's also got a Steam Workshop attached to it.
Right.
So you can basically import whatever you want. And I'm sure some of the big games have you know, put the kibosh on games.
I saw Monopoly on there.
Yeah,
I also saw
exactly.
Candy Sand.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any, like, adult sexy time games on there?
I didn't look yet, but I'm sure there are.
Okay.
It is physics-based.
Fuzzy dice.
But they also said that they also have officially licensed tabletop versions of some. They work with other publishers to get officially licensed ones as well.
And apparently, Leap Milf is mentioning that as long as the host has the game, nobody else needs to own the game.
Ooh.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That
is awesome. But you said it was on Humble Bundle right now. Is that going to still be there when this comes out?
Yeah, yesterday when I bought it, it was for sale for $9.99, but I got an extra dollar off somehow. I don't know.
Being awesome, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's because I subscribed to the Humble Bundle monthly.
Actually,
but I got it for $8.99, and it's regularly $20. But
Bobby, have a question for you. I know you probably can't answer it, but let's just say we had the number. What did I say?
No, go.
No, go ahead.
Let's just say you knew, like, out of all the existing games that on Steam, what percentile would you have out of the whole Steam library of games that exist in your library?
Ooh, if we did some research, we could find this out.
There's how many games are on Steam? We talked about this.
It just doubled in the past 2 years, right?
20,000, and I own about 5,600.
So you own a quarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The highest... you can look at SteamLadder.com to see who owns the most Steam games, and I want to say it's up around the 12 or 13,000.
Are you on the top...
It's probably more
than top 1,000, you think?
I don't know.
I guess we could do it. Like, anybody could run the statistics right now.
Yeah.
Anybody could go there.
More on TTS. I was thinking, as long as one person owns it, then everybody else doesn't have to. Imagine if you got together for, like, whatever it was, the game of life or whatever, and you had to show proof that you own the board game for you to play at your friend's house.
Like, all four of you have to own the
game. Oh, let me show your licensing code.
Yeah. Well, it's a trade-off. You get to do it online, but you all have to own it.
I've done it before where I've played through Skype board games and somebody just vicariously would throw my dice.
Through proxy.
Draw my cards,
I already don't trust that guy.
Yep. Right? Oh, you got a one again.
No, I won that game. Uh-huh. So it's fun.
All right. So also on the radar, a trailer came out. Lots of footage of the upcoming Far Cry 5.
What do you guys think of the... if you haven't seen the trailer... which we all have, but you in listener land, if you haven't seen the trailer, takes place in Middle America, right?
Yes,
Hope County,
Montana.
And I think it's basically some sort of zealot kind of takes over the town, and since it's a kind of a backward town, people can't get out of the town, so it kind of takes it over and makes it kind of a proxy.
Like a cult
kind
of thing.
Yeah.
And but at first glimpse, the first time I saw this, I was like, this is super weird. Like, what is it? Is this Far Cry? It doesn't even... Because usually it's tropical. Mm-hmm. My biggest... I wouldn't even say it's a complaint because I haven't played the game yet. But the first thing where I was like, whoa, was the lack of exotic animals. That's huge for me on Far Cry basis. That's the thing that I'm always like looking forward to, hunting exotic animals.
I'm sure there's alligators and bears.
Yeah,
bear.
Yeah, there's a bear. Yeah.
There was alligators in Montana?
Ooh, yeah.
Rabid raccoons, oh my. You know, like you don't know what's coming at your face. I mean, the head crab is probably one of the most fierce, like to be feared,
yeah.
You know, enemies, and it's so minute, but it will kick your ass, like, you know, like absorb your face and kick your ass,
yeah.
Right?
So but, you're saying there's not going to be exotics. You're not going to be hunting rhinos.
I mean, the biggest thing out there would be a bear.
Moose.
They didn't get much away in the trailer.
There's no moose in Montana, man.
I bet you there are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody look that up, please.
When I look
I bet there's no moose in the United States.
So,
that's my bet.
There is definitely moose in Alaska. I will bet any amount of money.
Continental
United States. Winner.
Okay, so for me, never having played a Far Cry game, yes, I'm one of those, but kind of
either.
Always...
I haven't either.
I've watched Far Cry. I know what it's about. I just never really played it myself. Knowing that this one's in Montana and looking at it, I was like, wait a second, where is the appeal to the weaponry for me in Montana? Like, I don't see, like, when I think of Far Cry, I think of military grade miscellaneous
shit. But I think that's what they're going to do because these zealots have these like AKs and all these other ones. They're in the backwater America, and they, you know, it's like this militant kind of group that has all sorts of weapons.
Gee, you're way off. There is no more well equipped group of individuals than Hicks in America.
Oh my God.
I promise you. Mr. Big Large Huge? You just tell him, just take a picture, take a picture of your guns and send them, put them on Discord.
Oh, I guess you're right.
A little side note, Nighthawk is listening on the live Discord, and he says Bobby owns 18.228% of the games on Steam. That's 5,620 out of 30,831 right now. So
we really can't
there you
bring
go.
Up Bobby.
Yeah, but
like,
who is Bobby
a forerunner
with?
Anymore?
And, will you
he's
let
not
us
putting
know
up
who
the
he's,
stats we need.
And then Recycled jumped in and clearly pointed out that the Northwestern moose goes all the way down into Kentucky, it looks like. It's definitely in Montana. All of Montana is covered there.
I think you're making shit up, man.
Okay.
All right, we settled the big
I think you're going to get the moose action.
Yeah.
Thank you, Recycled.
What are you guys' reactions to this trailer, though? I was surprised because I was burnt out on Far Cry. I didn't play Primal. I played all the Far Cry games. I've beaten half of them, and I was totally burnt out on the series. I see this, and I'm somewhat intrigued. I actually want to play this game.
I like this because it's... I actually applaud them for putting it in America. I think we skate by a lot of times on games. We're kind of always like the good guys or at least the neutral guys. We're never like the bad guys. And so it's kind of cool to see, like, we got shady shit going on here in the States. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool to see this. I don't know. But I saw other people online be like, what the fuck? Why
Montana? Why not Florida?
I wasn't thrilled.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still not thrilled. I think what happened was, Trump got voted in, and they're like, holy shit, these people exist. Maybe we should make a video game about them.
Well, this is a Ubisoft, right? Is this Ubisoft?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Far Cry, right?
Yeah, Ubisoft. It's gotta be.
So, yeah, this is...
I'm not thrilled.
But how many times is Montana the setting of anything, a movie or a video game? I mean, that's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah,
I get excited when I see San Diego in a movie. I was like, holy shit, we're famous.
Yeah,
it reminds me a little bit of, let's say, what the move that Resident Evil just pulled. In terms of, you know what's scary? Going in a bow dunk, nowhere.
Yeah.
You don't want to end up in there because there ain't nobody coming to save you.
Yeah, the hills is eyes.
You know what
style.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, I used to live in the South for real. Like, I lived in Atlanta and I would drive from Atlanta to Northern Florida, which is the deep South, in my opinion. And driving on those roads where if anything happened to me at all, I knew I was royally fucked because I had no cell phone service.
There's no royalty. Fully fucked.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that appeal to a different type of, you know, close to home fear is interesting, but from not ever having played any Far Cries, seeing this trailer makes me want to go back and play what Far Cry is known for, and that's, you know, like the exotic appeal,
the
military grade weaponry.
I have a fantastic suggestion for you. One of my all-time favorite games is Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. This is a standalone game. And it's a perfect Blood Far Dragon. Cry game.
Have you played this, Chi?
No, I haven't played any Far Cry.
There's a shortened... Far Cry games are huge. Like, yeah, even if you just do the main quest line, they're long hours. You could spend your life playing a Far Cry game. But Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon is a very condensed version of a Far Cry game, and it's also, like, super 80s. It's got Michael Biehn, you know, from Terminator and Aliens, voicing the main character.
Wow.
It's got all these 80s references. It's bright, colorful. It's a very fun game. The weapons are, like, over-the-top unique. It's an awesome game and a great way to get acquainted with the Far Cry series. And you don't, like, you can 100% this game in 7 or 8 hours. That's
yeah.
what
oh, really?
I did. I got absolutely everything in the game, all the collectibles, in around 8 hours.
To be honest, I was looking for a game to pick up and never finish again, like I do with all of my other games. Far Cry might have to be the one.
This is just the teaser trailer, though. We're talking like 6 months out, right? Something like that.
I have no idea. If somebody can find that out, that'd be cool.
We know Call of Duty games come in November.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't know when this will come out.
Cool.
All righty.
I didn't want to specifically put anything, but there was just a lot of games that came out this week that
February 27th.
February 27th, 2018.
It's the release date for Far Cry.
Okay. So, yeah, we're still like more than six months.
Yeah.
No, that's 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, so like 8 months, yeah.
We know when February is. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. There is a game that we forgot, but I'll save that. A listener just mentioned
it. Yeah.
Did you want to bring that up?
Well, I'm just saying there was a lot that went out this week. I even pointed out to Emilio. I didn't want to put the whole list. But yeah, if we want to talk about that one, let's...
Yeah, because a lot of people have asked me about Friday the 13th. I watched a lot of streams of this when it was in beta, and I was kind of amused by it. I was interested in maybe picking it up, but then I got Dead by Daylight, and that's kind of the same thing, although Friday the 13th might be a more AAA version of that. But a lot of people have been playing this. I don't know. Any interest in picking this one up?
Well, it's at 45% right now with the approval rating
on Steam.
And I feel that...
Is it a technical problem?
From what I can pick up on it is it's the servers weren't ready for the numbers. And so they're really...
So it's mostly technical.
That's what it sounds like. Some people were complaining about, like, nitpicky, but of course, Bobby always likes to say that Steam reviews.
Yeah, the Steam reviews are always very critical.
I'm actually very surprised that you said the online servers can't support Friday the 13th. I would assume any game with that title is a single player.
This is 4v1 asynchronous.
One killer hunting four other players.
Yeah.
It's like Evolve.
It's like Evolve, but you play as
it's like everybody's trying to recreate that game, but successfully.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because the concept is great.
Like Dead by Daylight.
It's basically a Dead by Daylight.
Okay.
Not clone. I don't want to call it a clone because they might have been done at the same time. This has just been in beta for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, none of us have played this officially yet.
So, but we will, well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'm not interested in it at all.
It's $40 price tag each.
Is it online only? Is it like...
I'm sure
Yeah, it's online.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well,
they don't have a single player campaign is what I'm saying.
I don't
think. Who could play any game other than PUBG right now? But let's not get into that yet.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into some other games here. Who wants to go first?
Well, the big story, I think, this week was the Surge, for me at least.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that last week. DLGamer.us hooked us up with a copy of it. Thank you very much. Check it out, DLGamer.us. There's a link on our tab on our website, DLGaming.net. I know, confusing. Anyways, The Surge, I've been actually having a lot of fun. I hate to say Emilio's right because it happens so rarely.
But 100% specifically exactly right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
He said, I would have a blast until I got to the first boss. Then I'd try the first boss like 20 times, get frustrated, turn it off. That's exactly what happened.
Are you playing mouse and keyboard or controller here?
Mouse and keyboard. But I have tried on console, so I did try on controller as well. Both of them seem to work fine. So this game is a Souls clone, right?
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Souls-like.
Souls-like? Okay.
That's what I've been going with.
It's a sci-fi version of Souls-like, and you kind of are equipped with this rig that you can upgrade.
Exoskeleton,
yeah. But the cool thing is, you can't upgrade it until you get the piece. And the only way to get the piece is to chop it off somebody else.
Yeah.
So you can, like, highlight specific parts of the body to attack. And then if you can finish them, for example, you want their weapon, which is on their right arm, for example.
So you have to kill them in a certain style.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to do a finishing move and knock that piece off to get it.
But you don't pick it up and put it on your arm. You scan it, and then you have to go use your points to either level up.
Which are equivalent to souls in Dark Souls.
Yeah. Or what do they call it?
Tech points.
So it's like learning. So you learn the technology, yep. And then you
craft it
you
with
craft
a schematic.
It for yourself. Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense.
But it is a Souls-like, meaning you have a central hub that you can do crafting and changing stuff and changing your setup. And then when you go out, all the guys have respawned. So you go and you kill what you want, advance where you want. If you die, you have 2 minutes to get your body back, right? 2 minutes, two and a half minutes?
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
That seems hard.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Harder.
Yeah.
What I really like about this game, I'm like I said, I got to the first boss, got extremely frustrated, so I haven't got past the first boss.
I'm surprised you made it to the first boss, Chad.
that's an extra
but
level of frustration.
The opening map is really well done. Like, you only have one campfire. What do they call it? The med bay?
Campfire. Oh, okay, med bay, yeah.
Yeah, which is the campfire equivalent
of...
Yeah, exactly. You only have one of those, but you end up getting like 8 different ways...
To get to it.
To leave from it. So you...
Choose your own destiny or else die.
No, you don't start like that way. You start with only one entrance, and then you go a little further, and it opens up another entrance, which gives you a shortcut back to your base.
Oh,
so then you can go out the second one.
So instead of multiple campfires,
exactly.
It's a central campfire.
But that's only in the first base, the first section. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I think it's really smart for like not the biggest developer ever.
To
reuse a lot of their assets.
Souls-like is perfect for a smaller developer because you don't have to do it.
Yeah. Which is kind of like a little roguelike too. You're just hitting the same things over and over.
It's
and
almost
over.
Like Resident Evil where you unbar a door from
exactly.
the other side yep. and you just
that's exactly
through.
What it is.
Exactly
okay,
what
that's
it
great.
Is.
Yeah. That's great.
But not done it. I mean, I think what Chad is getting at is not done in a way like, oh, this is stupid.
Exactly. Like, I always felt like I was advancing, even though I never actually left the camp.
Beat the first boss.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Isn't that the same feeling you got?
Yep, absolutely.
The art style, it feels like a AAA title, even though it's only $40 or 50. I forget what exactly price. Yeah, $50.
That's a huge compliment then.
Yeah, it feels like a AAA. The voice acting's done well.
It's only $10 short from
$59.99.
So.
And it's cheaper on dlgamer.us as well. So.
Oh, very nice.
The only thing I'm not really that into right now is the attack system. Instead of like a hard attack, light attack, it's only a vertical versus a horizontal attack.
Wrong. You can make either one of those a light or a strong. If you hold down the button, you can have a strong vertical or a light vertical.
True. But I haven't noticed any differences between the horizontal and vertical. So I've just been primarily
We're
using...
in the first level.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm sure once we get further, there will be more to it. What else? What do you think of the setting? Do you like it?
I love the setting. I think a lot of things make more sense. Some things make more sense in this, like the sci-fi universe as opposed to the fantasy universe, just like the whole thing of scanning things and then using your tech points. And then it's all risk versus reward and how you want to do things. One, you have your tech points and they can go to two things. One, leveling up yourself or the core of your exoskeleton. And the other is to build these things that you've been finding. And all of that just makes sense. Like, it's all intuitive.
Yeah,
and my biggest
really
problem with the Souls games has always been like, I don't know what the Ankh of fucking Cadbury means. I don't know what this does. And you just keep touching it till something happens. But I perfectly well know what a...
Like your girlfriend, too.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what a giant fucking metallic arm does.
Yeah, exactly.
It protects me and it slows me down. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
What doesn't make sense
is the respawning.
Yeah, every time you go to the med bay, all these fucking dudes you just killed are back.
Yeah, exactly.
In Souls games, it makes sense.
It makes sense.
So it's taking...
And they never even tried to explain that. That's just accepted as part of the game mechanic.
It's a Souls game.
They all just respawn.
Well, are these robots that you're killing or actual beings that you're killing?
They're just like you. They're people in exoskeleton, but except for...
They have individual identities then.
Kind of zombies now.
They're kind of zombies. Either I think maybe the guys are dead in them and the exoskeleton's just going... Because they're like bumping into walls and stuff until you kind of aggro them a lot of times.
That's the other thing.
Or let's just pretend you're on some planet that's reminiscent of that movie Moon, and they just have these like bays of clones.
Yeah, maybe.
Just ready to push out on you.
No, because you start the game and you're in this wheelchair, and they basically, you know, get you to come in.
It's kind of reveal.
Wheelchair is a game. It's literally for you.
It's literally a reveal in the first 30 seconds. You're in this wheelchair, and you get to you are getting this rig so you can walk again. Is basically what you're going in there.
Yeah. So you go,
but it all goes south super quick.
Not being able to walk into being the biggest space badass.
Well, you start off really weak. You got just a pipe, and you're killing droids and shit. Not droids, drones and shit.
The pacing was good. Like, I'm not having any issues. Well, next week, I'll let you know if the boss is really all Chad's making out to be.
No, I don't think it is. But the thing is, I'm at a point now where I can't level up anymore. And so you actually, in this particular game, I'm starting to find out you actually have to have the skill to beat it instead of you can out-level things.
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of times in Souls games, you can just out-level things if you just keep leveling up your shit.
You don't know that for a fact either.
I do know. I can't advance my weapons or armor anymore.
No, but have you played a Souls game past?
Oh, no. Boss? You're right.
Okay.
You're right. What? So maybe... Maybe I'm right.
Basically,
okay, maybe this game is more about my alley than Chad's alley. We'll see. Let's wait for Cheese review on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's a really good game.
Yeah, but overall, how do you
super
think?
Super stoked on this.
If your choice was to tell a person to play a Dark Souls game or to play this game, what would you say?
It comes down to personal preference. If you like sci-fi, I'd go with that. This one seems to make more sense. I feel like I don't know why it just seems so. All the things had arbitrary names in the Souls games,
and you have to very Japanese, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and you have to keep looking up things for no reason.
Yeah,
this is Dark a Souls lot Wiki. More intuitive, and probably a lot more accessible.
Yeah, I would say
you don't feel like you're missing out on chunks of the story just because you refuse to look it up in the online.
Yeah, correct.
Right. Okay. I feel like when I finish this, I'll know the entire story.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there won't be anything.
They shoot you audio files every once in a while that you can find.
Yeah.
But it's not like all over the place so far.
Yeah, I've found two or three.
Yeah, two or three maybe.
Yeah.
But all in all, I really like it. I'm going to try to get by this first boss. And, you know, if I can't, then obviously it means I suck at video games and should die in a fire or something like that. I don't know.
We already knew that.
Yeah. So, yeah, all in all, awesome.
Yeah, highly recommend.
All right. A glowing recommendation.
I kind of want Bobby to play because
I want to play this.
I've been talking
you guys.
To...
Yeah,
I forgot,
you should.
I remember us talking about this and being very.
You have my family share, right?
Since I
think it needs to be reset up. Now
yeah,
since
like we. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll get it reset.
I'm a Souls fan.
Yeah,
like, I started with Demon Souls.
Well, I want your review of this. Let's get you to play this.
Yeah, I would love to see
because Chad and I's review is very just. Surface only.
Yeah, and if you played a bunch of Souls games, I'm really kind of interested how they compare from a Souls.
I'm sure most like Souls people would laugh at the combat in this game because it seems so simplistic. I think.
Well, the fact that you said that you can play it with mouse and keyboard because I play Souls with controller, strictly with controller only.
Yeah, I've heard it's a lot easier with controller.
The mobility alone has so much emphasis in those type of games where, like, to be honest, this is the one time I'll say, not the one time I'll say, but one of the few times I'll say controller over mouse and, over mouse and keyboard.
Cool. Shall we get into other highlights and lowlights?
Sure. Everspace went into, it's officially released now. And I went to, before I played it today, I went and saw the patch notes. To see what the release, the very first thing, I've never seen a patch note this big. It said, added the story.
Wow, that's funny.
That's pretty huge, right?
Yeah.
So, and then when I loaded it up, it's like, do you want to play your old save file and keep all your progress, or do you want to start from scratch
and see the story?
And see the story.
So you said see the story, right?
How hard of a decision is that? I had like probably 25, 30 hours in the other one.
But yeah, you were playing that a bunch during
Yeah, so
access.
I clicked it and there goes all my shit. But
well, you're used to this because it happened to you in Binding of Isaac a couple times.
Not by choice.
Not by choice, yes, correct.
I mean, that's the rogue. That's the true roguelike element that you desire, isn't it? It's almost like having your memory card wiped out.
Which has happened to me as well. Yeah. I've had some really bad luck with save files. For those who don't know, probably the first time I played Binding of Isaac with Sam, she was like, does it help if I do this? And she was just kidding, and she was pushing a bunch of buttons and moving around the thing. And she went, just so happens to be, she went to delete file, are you sure? Yes. And I lost my 400 hours of Binding of Isaac.
Oh my.
But he's not bitter at all.
No.
He's definitely forgiven her.
It seems like,
and he never brings it up with her.
On accident. Like, I'm reminded of a shitty Wayans Brothers movie where they were parodying those, what were those spooky movies that the guy from Sony made? You know what I'm talking about? Paranormal Activity. And there's a part in this terrible movie. I can't emphasize how shitty this movie it is. It's on Netflix. Look it up. It's so fucking bad. It's probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire
Everybody
life.
Everybody knows, yeah.
But
yeah,
there's a part in this movie where he, like, films himself doing something really embarrassing and he accidentally uploads it to YouTube. I'm like, how do you accidentally do it? And he's at the computer trying to act this out like he's accidentally hitting all these keys. And like, oh no, what's happening? It's horrible.
He could have.
That's basically what's it. Oh no.
How
did I delete
this? Upload to private settings. Like, you could upload it on YouTube, but only if you have the special link and or it's you can only watch it. Like, it's like that self satisfactory like type of video, like maybe that's what he was attempting to do and just release it to the public.
Well, no. Don't make excuses.
I haven't seen the movie, so.
But I wonder if Game Save Manager would back up a deleted save file like that on Binding of Isaac.
Oh, I did.
Steam Cloud.
You think I didn't do research, bro?
Well, you
think I didn't do research, bro?
Wait. Hold up. Did you change anything moving forward?
What?
To, like, back up or make sure you didn't,
yeah,
it didn't happen again?
Yeah, I changed her name in my phone to fucking bitch.
Oh, my gosh. He was, like, wild digging out a grave in the salt mine. Like, that was freaking Amelia.
All right, let's get back to Everspace, though.
All right. So they added a story, which is huge.
And how is it so far?
You know, it's kind of like what you already, I already thought.
There was like clones going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was all speculative, but now it's kind of confirmed. No, completely confirmed. But there's a little bit of like, I don't know where this is going. And every time you hit a new sector, you get more of the story, which is cool. It's hard to put a story into a roguelike because you're playing the whole thing. But if you put clones into a roguelike, it totally makes sense because you get to live again and again and again in the same universe. And you level up your pilot, which would because the computer mentions that skills go on. You know English, you know how to pilot a spacecraft because you're cloned from somebody who did. But memories aren't supposed to transverse. But you, for some reason, your memories are, and so it helps build the story. Well, you can put points into your piloting skills, and they'll go on to the next clone, and so on and so on. Why you can't make 50,000 of your clones and send them around as an army, I don't know. I tried to click on that, but it didn't work.
This isn't Battlestar Galactica, Emilio. No. Chill.
So it made a great game, even better.
You love this game.
I love this game. It's fantastic. There's new settings. When I say settings, is like when you fly into a sector. I mean, flying through planets that have rings like Saturn, and you're flying through the rings. Planets that are lush, like you're looking down on Earth with greens and blues. And it's gigantic. And somehow the Earth-like planets aren't flat. I don't know how that is since Earth is flat.
Yeah, that's weird.
But good times. They took away one of the... I didn't know it was a problem until they took it out. There's these things called system scanners where you can scan the system. But if you have one of those, you were kind of just fucked and you couldn't do anything the whole
time. You were just guessing, right?
You were just guessing. And now it's somewhere in between where you still have to explore, but things are revealed to you if you get close enough. So this new way that they're doing is much better than it was before.
So patches like I said, that are really, truly improving the game. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it
so it made a really good game better, it seems like, so far.
Yeah, exactly. I love this game.
Now, does that mean you're going to play less Binding of Isaac so you can play this more?
If I didn't have to come record this, I'd be playing this right now.
That's
way into it. And I
did have to stop you to get you going here.
Bobby, you want to hit quadrilogical while I pee again?
I'll save that for a moment. I want to talk about my Hearthstone story, though.
Oh, okay.
Even though I'm not a Hearthstone player, I love listening in to what you guys have to say about it.
What prompted the Hearthstone? Okay, you'll tell us.
Well,
sorry.
I don't know why, but I just decided to download Hearthstone on my phone.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So I installed it on my phone. I played it a little bit, and it's surprisingly well spaced out UI, and the screen is pretty big, so it kind of worked, but still felt a little cramped.
How much have you played previously before?
Hearthstone, not a whole lot.
You played it originally.
Yeah, when it first came out, and then I kind of lost interest. And I got kind of confused with all the whole disenchanting and the new sets and the wild.
But now that you played HOTS, all that makes sense, huh?
Not really. I think it's better laid out in there. It's pretty obvious because I made some mistakes when I was trying to disenchant and craft stuff. They have gold cards, which are way more expensive, but they cost a lot more. And I accidentally crafted one of those instead of just a regular one. And they're like four times more expensive. Yeah. So it really sucked. But anyway, I started playing it a little bit on my phone. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I don't know if I'll play any more on my phone, but it got me interested in Hearthstone again. And I started doing a little research online. I played a couple games on my computer. I always play Paladin. I'm too lazy to learn anything else. So I looked up a deck, and I was like, okay, well, to get this deck, I'd probably need to buy some packs and disenchant stuff. I bought some packs. I made this Murloc Paladin deck. It's called an aggro deck. This is all new to me, but it's called an aggro deck.
Or a
so
smork
really
deck.
Aggressive, like right off the bat. Like all the cards cost one mana crystal. That's it. Well, there's a couple that cost a little bit more, but nothing above four. So you just like basically bum rush them with all this attacks. And this has just been slaughtering people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how. I haven't played Hearthstone in years. I'm just murdering people.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to spend a lot to have a decent, a viable deck.
Yeah, I don't know how much.
But you still have to spend money, and that turns me off about any video game.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of packs.
Well, that's valid. But they do give you, just like in HOTS, they give you a quest a day. Mm-hmm. You can quest a day to get your gold reward.
So as long as you were in at day one, you're set.
The quests seem different now. You get packs?
Some of it depends. Some you get gold,
some
you
get
packs.
You only get one a day now. You used to get three.
No, you have a cap of three, just like in HOTS. You got a cap of three, but you get one a day. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't gone in 3 days, you'll have three sitting there. But if you go in every day. But then you also, for every three wins, you get 10 gold, and you can get that, like, up to 150 gold or something, or 100 gold. I forget what it is.
It's not bad.
See, originally, like when I played Hearthstone, like the reason I really hated it was because I would always lose. I had this lame Paladin deck from like 2012.
The tutorial deck. That's what I game.
Yeah, it was like the basic deck. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like throwing out my little foot knights there, and they'd just be murdering. It's like a fucking dragon with 10 attack, and I'm just getting slaughtered. And now I'm that guy. Like I just it all.
But you
I
still got
do.
Those 1/1 footmen. Now they're slaughtering fools.
Well, the thing is, you play all these guys, these Murlocs. It works best with Murlocs because they're cheap. You throw them out there and then you buff them up with different cards. Yep. And yeah, it's like unstoppable. I'm sure there's a way to get past it, but that's going to be Hearthstone for me. Like not learning anything else about the game, but just playing my stupid Paladin deck.
Well, you're also getting matched up with people at your level. As far as
what level are you right now? You're probably like
4 or 5.
I have like 101 wins.
No. But your play rating.
25.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're still 25.
Yeah,
so
but you have to play ranked. I didn't play ranked.
No, you got to play ranked. There's no point not to play ranked. Honestly, just play ranked. Mm. There's no point in not. But the most fun, if you want to give it a little bit of a chance, Arena is I love Arena. I hate the ranked.
So Arena, what's the least amount you could win with that?
So it costs 150 gold or $2.
Mm-hmm.
And you would play at least three games because you go out, you play until you lose three games. So if you make your deck and then you lose your three, you'll get a pack as well as at least one other thing. So it'll be like dust.
It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. It's 150 gold or $2, and you will at least guarantee a pack.
The arena in Hearthstone is one of the best ways to spend resources and have fun. Like
it's really efficient, you're saying, right?
Well, no, I'm saying, and fun wise.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you're into that, because I like the deck building and I like this even playing field where everybody starts at zero and they craft their own deck based on this limited amount of cards, and then you kind of see how you guys compare to each other. The thing is, if you get 7 wins, you'll get at least 150 gold back. So if you get 7 wins, you can just keep. As long as you keep getting 7 wins, you can keep playing Arena, and it won't cost you a dime. And you'll get a pack every 7 wins. You know,
I feel that it's... Well, 7 is guaranteed.
7 is guaranteed.
But you can do it at 4 or 5.
Generally, no. You'll get enough. You'll get 100 or 120. But if you need 150, you have to get 7 wins.
I guess I'm putting value on a pack, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So at 7 wins, you get 150 gold guaranteed and a pack guaranteed. Plus 2 other items.
No, I don't think anybody thinks that Hearthstone is a ripoff. I think it's really well done.
The thing is, Hearthstone, if you want to like make the decks and stuff, if you want the exact net decks that people are winning with, it is expensive.
It tells you exactly how much you have to spend in disenchanting dust or whatever currency. I use icyveins.com.
Okay. Because Hearthpwn is a really good site, and it will break it down by how much dust you need to get it. There's a couple other ones.
The cheapest paladin deck was about $3,600. The one I did was about $4,200 disenchanting. So I had to disenchant. $50 on packs.
Oh, yeah, you got the 50
packs. It was the Un'Goro ones, the new set. So I was like, fuck it, I'll try it out. I haven't spent a dime on Hearthstone ever in my entire life. So I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. But I don't know. Like my whole experience with this game is probably just going to be me just, you know, playing one deck. So I we'll see if it develops into something else. But I don't know.
But the phone one, once you get used to the phone. Like I rail against mobile games and shit like that, but the mobile version of Hearthstone is really
it's really well done,
isn't it?
Yeah. I think it'd be better on an iPad, but
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I've played Hearthstone on tablet,
yeah,
and it's completely linked to everything. So whatever you do on either mobile and or PC,
I think the mobile version works really well if you know the game, because then you can just see the kind of icons and you know exactly what's going on.
Okay.
If you want to see all the text and stuff, it can be a little more challenging.
Like press and hold, just view a card. Yeah. So it was a little.
So, if you know the game, it works really well for mobile.
Awesome.
I got the show notes, Bobby, please.
Yep.
So last week I talked about buying Spaceland, not knowing that it was a clicker game, and everybody knows I hate fucking clicker games. And then I started playing it, and I was clicking. And I, but it has this story. It has a very quirky, Guide to the Galaxy?
Cosmos or...
Guide to the Galaxy?
The Stephen Hawking's book, right?
No.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's the whole vein here. It's like sci-fi with British, not to say it's British, but it feels like that kind of quirky comedy. You're in space, you don't know what's going on.
Is Master's Quest a clicker game?
What?
Master's Quest?
Quest?
The Mayo is a clicker game.
Oh, that's what you mean by clicker game.
Yeah, where all you do is click.
Yeah, click game.
Oh,
you literally
no.
click.
I hate it.
Yeah, right?
And I hate
it.
So this one is like, you have a thing maker on your spaceship. You have a spaceship and you're orbiting this thing and you don't know what the thing is. That's basically all you have. On your spaceship, you have a thing maker. You have a word maker that tells you things. And you have a idea thing maker upper. Something like that. Three things.
Okay.
And then you're trying to generate power in order to charge these things so that they can make more things.
And you're clicking
and
to
you're clicking the whole way. But what I really liked is you can invest more on automated clicking and that's what I did, and just walk away for hours at a time.
What do you mean invest more?
Of the power that you click to get.
Oh, so you spend money that you've clicked naturally to automate clicking.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Or you could bump up your click power, or do both.
This makes me want to kill myself just hearing this.
So
sounds like the worst Ponzi scheme I've ever heard of.
So instead of making one...
What if these cliques are like generating a power plant in Russia? Like, yeah, that's why seriously. This game was.
I think exactly what's going on.
We're all hamsters on a fucking wheel yeah. here, guys.
I think exactly China found a way to make us those gold farmers. They yep. fucking they reversed it on us. What the fuck?
So the story's pretty good. And then,
but you would have preferred just to have it a walking simulator, basically, just watch the story, right? There was no actual benefit to having a game here.
I don't know. It's really hard to say because I was really starting to think of like, what do people see in these clicker games? People are making them for a reason. And I think what it boils down to is that if you work for something, you want to see the payoff, and the payoff you know is guaranteed. So you just got to do that little bit of work and you're going to get that gratification. I'm not justifying it, but doing it with the automated, I feel like I made the proper decision so that the way that my automated energy gathering would be most efficient. So I feel like I did do some work, but I'm at, there wasn't a whole lot of work. I clicked on these things rather than those things. That's all it was.
Because I have played a game and kind of enjoyed it. It's kind of like the Lemonade Stand game. I forget. I think it's like The Economist or The Capitalist or something like that. It's on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that free-to-play game.
And it's a... I wouldn't call it a clicker game, but you have to like...
Venture Capitalist?
Yeah, The Venture Capitalist, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to like start processes, and you can only have certain processes going, so you have to kind of pick what you want. But it's not a clicking game. Like it actually had game elements.
I think it's kind of in between both yeah. those from yeah. what it sounds like. Anyway, the story was great. We got to a certain point. The story seemed to be getting repetitive. I probably won't play this game again, but I only paid $2.99 for it. For that, I you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you chuckle? Was there any laugh out loud
No, there's
moments?
A lot of like internal smiles, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. What you actually look like when you type out LOL?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got you.
I don't know if you played a whole lot of this game or if it didn't exit properly or if you didn't close it, but it said you were playing Space Plan for like 2.5
That's
days.
That's what I'm telling you. I automated my clicking. Okay. So I would put it on and go to sleep, put it on, go to Arizona. So
you were at the game.
How do you catch the story? I'm sorry, Bobby, what'd you say?
No, I was just confirming. So the game was, you were actually... purposefully doing that.
Yeah, on purpose. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to get at. But
so the story wouldn't continue until you did something when you get
back
in?
I came home, and then there's all these resources.
And then you spend it, and you
and
get more story.
And the story is coming out little by little.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Exactly.
Let's never talk about another clicker again.
Well, this one was a little different. And
okay, fair enough.
The music was fantastic.
That's how they get you, dude. That's how they
yeah.
The music was fantastic. Moving on. Display Fusion is an app that you can get through Steam, and it helps you.
Oh, this is that one that you've been talking about, right? Because you have three monitors, and you're
right.
trying to...
Okay. Yep. And I've been having a lot of issues since I got my new monitor.
Break it down for the listeners.
And I think it's because I have three different resolutions going on. I have an ultra-wide, I have a shitty fucking laptop screen, and I have a 4K TV. The 4K TV is almost always off unless I'm watching video, which is like just with my girlfriend. So that's off, but I've been having issues.
You got a 4K monitor. You don't use that for porn at all?
My 4K monitor?
They're your 4K TV.
No, it's too much work.
Well, are you going to get 4K porn, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
heck yeah.
Since when do you need
see the dimples
porn?
Out of your way.
You got to see the dimples on her butt cheeks, right?
You'd have to go.
Gross. If anything, I would want to blur out certain things that
seriously.
Come with porn.
Sorry,
videos.
I brought that up. Never mind.
Wow.
What were we talking about?
Real quick.
Display Fusion.
Yeah,
oh,
Display
what's
Fusion.
This?
Brought to you by Display Fusion.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm like, I need some help because even though my main gaming monitor is set to default main display, it's set to number one. The other ones are 2 and 3. Things just randomly pop up on the other ones.
Yeah.
And sometimes
sucks.
I can't play games.
It fucking sucks.
It fucking sucks. Especially if you're playing, I play a lot of indie titles. Indie titles don't have the option on what monitor you want it to play on. Things like Prey. Actually, Prey might be the one or second game that I ever said, what display do you want us to play on?
I've seen a couple of those, yeah. But it's really rare.
It's
that
really
happens
rare.
To me a lot. They do include that option in a lot of games now, even small titles I've noticed. But the problem that I have is because one of my monitors are vertical. If a game loads in the window, I can't get to the settings because
it's a vertical
monitor. So I can't get to the settings
sideways
to make that change. No, it's not that I can't even see it. It can't display the full image on it. So the settings are over here off screen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's
so it sounds like you need Display Fusion.
I probably do. I've looked into this program before.
So I wasn't sure if these are, you know, I should just get the, whatever it is, the plugin that you have, Bobby, that shows you the cheapest price ever. Why can't we see it?
It is and Steam.
Can we see it? I can't see it.
It shows you the cheapest price.
That's right there. Bundle starts.
$5.99. Yeah, on Steam.
How much?
$5.99.
I paid a whole $29.99 for this.
Okay.
And I was sure that, but anyway, it was an emergency. I was getting so frustrated. I was growling because just to like, I can't say exactly what it was, but over and over. It's not like I have three monitors right in front of me and I could just look left, look right. No, my 4K is way up on the top left and I have to crane way over here and it's gigantic on a 55-inch screen. So, like, I was fucking frustrated. I paid the money.
First world problems. You had three monitors. Okay. One's
I had
too
to
big.
Crane my neck.
Yeah, I actually had to turn my head. Yeah. Fuck that.
And I get it and I'm like, I'm hoping that it's just going to solve all my problems. But what I get is this, there are so many options. This is like programming. You could actually do some mild programming within it.
Oh, okay.
Like you can, if this, then this, and kind of things.
Too many options is what you're
saying.
So
not too many. Maybe, you know, once I put some time into it. Now, did it solve my immediate problems? For the most part, it streamlined a lot of things. Things seem to be working better than they were.
Better's not perfect, though. Are you saying it's still having problems?
I think it would. Yes. The biggest problem maker is, I think, it's Star Wars. Every time I load up Star Wars, my main display doesn't work afterwards.
Which Star Wars are you talking about?
Battlefront.
You're still playing that game? Mad dogged that shit last week.
I loaded up to show people my monitor.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It's a good display. Every time after I play that, and that still goes on. But I think with a lot of tweaking, I can get everything exactly what I want. But it does have a ton of options for having two or three or four monitors.
Hmm. That's awesome.
So,
Bobby, after hearing that, any interest in doing it for you?
I might check it out. I don't like running a lot of these programs where I have to run like a third-party program just to get something to work. I've noticed that Windows handles monitors in a very weird way. I don't like it at all. It will automatically set what is monitor 0 and what is monitor 1, and you cannot change that. I've gone and tried to change that like in the registry and all, done all sorts of things, and it does not work.
Well, you can change those in NVIDIA Experience.
The GeForce, not the GeForce Experience,
the
control panel.
Yeah, the control panel.
Yeah, but I hate having to go through that just to get like a game to work or get something to act like it should in the first place. What I'm wondering is why do they offer a 4-pack of Display Fusion?
Yeah, I don't get
that's
it.
Weird.
22.
Oh, you know? Oh no, I was gonna say maybe a land center.
You can play with
land center.
Buddies.
Maybe.
Oh yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Cool. Now that we heard Emilio talk forever,
I think there's more on there for me.
Should we? I can bring up something. You have Fury still. Fury.
Yeah, go ahead.
Clown Lotion actually requested that I play a game called Cross Code. And Cross Code, thank you, Bobby, is something that's on Bobby's list. Have you played this, Bobby?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, I
10 out of 10. Goddamn.
I highly recommend this game. It's still in early access. I think it was a Kickstarter or a Steam or a Greenlight to get this going. It is a top-down 8-bit retro style RPG. And you basically play as this girl she's in this world similar to Sword Art Online or something like that, where they're playing a virtual reality game, but they're in real life doing this or something like that. But she's lost her memory. She's trying to figure out what's going on. But it's very much retro, but they've done all the modern touches to make it feel like it works in today's gaming environment. I've been having a lot of fun with it, although maybe I should just stop playing games at this point because the combat got really difficult really quick for me. The tutorials, everything was fine.
Wait, why would it's not traditional Is it action RPG? Is that what it is?
No, it is definitely action RPG. You can watch some in the trailer. What's kind of cool is, so I'm doing WASD controls, Bobby. That's why I'm saying that you should try it, because the WASD, the keyboard and mouse is actually working really well, I think. But what's cool is you've got a cursor on screen, and she can shoot this like gun, which has a cool effect where it's the longer you hold it in, the more accurate it becomes. So she's got a gun, but then if your cursor is close enough when you're attacking that you're in melee range, it will do her melee attack. So you're kind of, you can do ranged and melee pretty effectively with the mouse and keyboard. I think,
but you only control the main girl. Do you, yes, ever you have a group of people that
yes, you do,
fight with
and
you?
They're AI controlled, and you can set up how they are aggressive or passive, or you know,
okay,
aggressive or defensive.
Nice.
Do they attack your target, or they do they attack their own target? You know, so you can set up similar stuff in there. But it's definitely action, you know, action RPG. Like there's no turns based or anything.
I love that it does have that classic appeal. Like looking at it, you would think you're playing an RPG straight from the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, and it just feels really well made right now. And
the reviews are really good.
Yeah, people have seemed to really like it. So I'm definitely going to be playing this more. And I think it is still in early access, but I think it's been there for a while.
Yep, early access.
Okay. But nothing's felt early access to me yet, so I would say go ahead and give it a go and tell me what you think.
So it's not the complete story by any means.
No. I feel like I obviously haven't gotten very far, but so far I haven't felt anything early access yet.
Okay, great.
Feels like a complete game.
Yeah, it does. So highly recommend.
A couple months ago, no, not that long ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, during the On the Radar section, we talked about a game. I brought up a game called Ballistic Tanks, and this is a game that was basically a new version of Combat, which is a very old Atari game I used to play, Atari 2600, if anyone remembers that. It's a real simple-looking game where you top-down, you're just driving a tank or possibly a plane around shooting each other. So I did grab Ballistic Tanks. And I'm a sucker for all these games that were super retro but have been remade, and it's done with all the modern things that they do in games nowadays, like Shell Shock Live was a remake of Tanks. But Ballistic Tanks, basically the same thing. Same idea of a game, but they've incorporated all these other things like power-ups, and you get these coins, and then you can use those coins to get upgrades on a second playthrough, and it still feels very arcadey. But after about half an hour playing this game, I knew exactly what it was, and I was already over it. There's just not a whole lot there. But
it just didn't hold up.
I could have told you that. I think I did tell you that the first time you brought this up.
I knew what I was getting into with this. It's the same thing when I bought... They actually have an Atari 2600 like simulator, or it's a collection of Atari games on Steam. And I those. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Nostalgia for like 20 minutes, and then I was over it. It's so short-lived. When you play those old games... Well, they're very simple. But I mean, back then, what else was there? But, you know, it's good. It's... I don't know. It's...
What's good? This?
No, it's good. No, not this particular game. I mean, the game's not bad. But I'm saying going back and playing those really old, simple games, I mean, they're good. It's like looking at an old photo, or it's like, it just brings back memories.
I don't pay to look at old photos.
You don't pay $2.99.
You're not agreeing with him.
I hate the whole thing about nostalgia. I don't get it at all. I know a lot of people do. There's...
Wait, you're not nostalgic about anything?
Not that I
know. Yeah, I think you're alone in that because...
Yeah.
So nothing, no movie from the 80s you cherish?
I'm the guy that says that nothing holds up. I don't think... Why?
We'll contradict that at some point here. We've got people typing in Discord right now.
Yeah, probably. That's crazy, though. I've known you for a while, and I've never heard you say it that way. But now that I think about it, you are right. Yeah, I mean, you talk about like Alien and Predator and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But other
Predator
than that,
holds up. Alien, maybe.
Yeah.
Star Wars does not hold up.
Yes, it does.
I won't watch.
There might
that
be
again.
Something deeper here, because really, it's not about the content itself. It's about your connection to it.
I would say I'm very much a nostalgic player, but more so on the online element. I feel like. you know, I feel like, okay, nostalgia, we're talking old school RPGs and stuff like that, but when I think of nostalgia, I think of like my first years on Steam, yeah, and connecting to people through GameTiger.com and or Xfire, and you know, it's
GameTiger, never even heard of it.
Do you remember? No? Yeah. Or no, like having to join the same server by copy and pasting an IP address, yeah, versus
getting, you know, the Kinect space, yeah, IP,
yeah,
address.
So for me, like when it comes to nostalgia, it's that like, for me, it's almost like the after school meetup where like at school, you're like, oh yes, you want StarCraft, yeah, you're, yeah, going down. I hate you, you fucking hacker, you know, but you know, like, it's like that kind of nostalgia. Yeah. I know a lot of people bring up nostalgia, like, you know, some of the old school games, or where people are like, oh yeah, I'm a gamer, I'm so good at Mario Kart. I'm like, dude, Mario Kart was 20 years ago, you know? And yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly, it's like you can't still survive off of that video game nostalgia. So I understand, yeah, Emilio's point on this, where it's, but like, there's so many good and new that's out now and coming out still.
Games are
like,
so much better.
How can you
better
thrive on those old school,
but
feelings?
But you're the one that talks about like EverQuest being like the best MMO. And remember when we had the EverQuest reboot that we went and played?
Oh, yeah. WoW is straight up like, nostalgia, yeah, for me now, yeah, too. Yeah.
But remember that? But it's true. Like, we played EverQuest it for like an hour.
Best. WoW is probably the best I've, yeah, made. And it still shows.
We played the EverQuest for like an hour and we're like, yeah, what the fuck? How did we play this game, yeah, forever? Like,
we,
but back in the time, it was
original EverQuest where you had to, in order to get your mana back, you had to sit down and meditate, which meant looking at your book. You couldn't even look, yeah, at the scenery, which was, by the way,
abysmal.
40% of your screen was the world,
yeah,
and the rest of it was UI.
It looked like what's the game where you move forward one square and then the guys come out, because it's just got the little screen in the middle and all, yeah, like the text on the outside that, yeah, has, yeah, everything. Oh my gosh,
it's so, yeah, bad. All I'm saying is I don't get it personally. It's,
you don't get nostalgia at all.
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
For anything, I don't think.
Okay. There was some deeply repressed things that happened in your childhood, I imagine, that I'll find out one day when you come killing me in my sleep.
Oh, well,
let's not get into that right now.
Whoa, wait.
let's talk about how I'm going to kill him in his sleep.
Yeah. I want to talk about quadrilateral
It's not, yeah, easy to say.
Quadrilateral cowboy. That's probably why they titled the game.
Yeah, guys, probably.
So people would stumble over it in podcast. But I want to talk about the game before I fall asleep here.
It's like, why not just call it Space Cowboy at that point, right?
Because the guy who made this game
is fucked up in the head.
He's an unusual guy. I don't want to say
you
like,
know him in person. You
no, not in a bad way.
This guy.
But this guy is kind of like well known in the whole indie game scene. And I played one of his games before, 30 Flights of Loving. He's also got other games, Atom Zombie, Smasher, Flotilla. Those are some of the more popular ones.
Right.
But everybody was talking about, like a lot of people were talking about 30 Flights of Loving, and a lot of people like were saying how good it was. And I played it and I was like, I totally don't get it. It was a 5-minute game. And it was very unusual. It was kind of like a walking sim, maybe a little bit of a puzzle here and there. But I just didn't get what the appeal. It was kind of, you know, when people appreciate art and you're just standing there not understanding. That's kind of what I felt like there. But Quadrilateral Cowboy. We're going to get it right, guys.
Yeah, one of these times.
This game looks a lot like 30 Flights of Loving, but it is a fully fleshed out version of that. You're like this organization of spies, hackers, whatever. Like some for hire agency that takes on these jobs where you've got to break in and like steal information. And there's a lot of puzzles. You have this little deck that you put out and you telnet into things and you write little codes that open doors and you have to time them correctly. You have to like time it so it says like wait 10 seconds, then turn off this for 3 seconds. If it's longer than 3 seconds, the alarm's going to go off. Then wait another 5 seconds and then trigger this thing. And then you program that into your little computer and then you try to walk through the room while everything's timed. And there's all sorts of other puzzles in there too, but it's really hard. I didn't know how I was going to explain this game because it's so hard to describe the charm in this. It takes place in the 80s, so it's a bit of that like old school,
so Bobby loves
hacker
it
things. I mean, it doesn't like scream 80s. Look at the art style here. It's very blocky. Very, it kind of seems like jazz punk, if anyone played that.
Okay, I love that game.
Yeah, that had more of a
humor. Yeah, okay. I was going to say, if you name drop jazz punk, there's got to be humor in here.
A little bit. It doesn't have the same type of tone, but it's a good game, but it's so hard to tell people why it's a good game.
Okay. But
it sounds like programming a sequence and then walking through the sequence. Is that the meat of
the
game?
Well, in the beginning, how do you even try to describe a game as what would you call it?
It's quadrilateral.
They call it indie adventure, action, cyberpunk, and hacking, or the description.
Yeah, sounds like hacking
just,
a lot.
It's just like...
it does have a bit of the hacking sim in it, because a lot of it's using stuff at terminals. There's this little like robot you can control that walks through small areas and connects to things. But it's... I don't know.
It's like gamer vomit, really, where you just throw so much of a little bit of everything, and it, like, it as a whole, it's vomit, but you piece by piece, you wouldn't figure it out.
Does it work? Why?
It's a puzzle game, I guess, is the best way for me to describe it. And it is, the difficulty on the puzzles are ramping up, but it's so hard to do puzzle games right. You know, they're very binary. It's like you figure it out or you don't. And then how do you get people to have that rewarding feeling when they figure out the puzzle? By not making it too easy and by not making it too hard and by making it fair. I mean, that's such a difficult thing to do. But this game does a very good job. And the tone of it, like the charm of it, like that I can't describe, is right on the point. Now, this game goes for, let's see, $19.99.
Wait, you just told me this was a 5-minute game.
No.
That was 35 seconds.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. No. If that was the case, then fuck this game.
That's one expensive hooker.
Yeah.
I'm an hour into it, and I've done the first two missions, but I can already feel the difficulty ramping up.
So, all in all, you would recommend Quadriplegic Centipede.
I want to emphasize the visual art of it too.
Okay.
Like there's something to be said there. There's an attention to detail about this game because it's a very blocky game. It looks not quite Minecraft, but almost there, like very blocky and everything looks very simple, but then you get close. And like, I looked at one of the characters, one of my fellow hackers, spies, whatever they are in this organization. And she's reading this like dirty romance novel. That's God, I wish I could remember the name of it. It was so funny, but there's like the title and it has the cheesy art. And then I looked at the back of the book and it has like a printing company and it's like everything, like, if you look at the little details, there's so many funny little things in there. Just so much attention to detail.
So 7.5 minutes of talking, and I still don't know if you like this.
I do like this game.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's quirky. It's
how much do you like this game, Bobby?
$19.99.
It's one of those games.
Like this game.
Yeah.
Well, Emilio bought this for me, so I feel like he's trying to get an answer.
No. You listed a bunch of things. I don't know if they were good or bad.
It's one of those games that I really like, but I have trouble recommending to other people because I don't think this is for everybody. Mm.
So we approve of Quinceañera Centurion.
It's almost like you were reviewing a movie, like an indie film or something.
Centurion. Yeah. I'm trying to work on these.
Yeah.
Like, I could think of people that would probably enjoy this game.
I would. I'm a big jazz punk fan, actually. I enjoy that
You've
game.
You've been hyped on pretty much all these games. This one, The Surge.
Why not do that to you?
Yeah.
Well, The Surge, because for nostalgic purposes, calling it a Souls-like makes it right up my alley. Calling this jazz punk-like makes it right up my alley. Yeah.
You haven't played Dark Souls 3 yet, right?
When you throw a reference
No, I haven't.
In there.
I've played it. Mm-hmm. I've always played the Dark Souls games. I've just never beaten them.
Yeah, you get to the first boss and get frustrated and quit, just like me.
Whatever.
No, as one does.
The first boss is tutorial. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I always get through the tutorial at least. No, I always make it to like at least fourth or fifth boss and then kind of get distracted by something else.
Chad's got a new toy.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can talk about that.
Oh, fun.
So I kind of had an impulse purchase last weekend, and I spent $250 on an LG 34 UM58, I believe it's called. This was at Costco.
It's a monitor.
It's a monitor.
Oh, okay.
It's a 34-inch 21x9
That's
monitor.
That's not bad, $250.
That's why I bought it.
Ultra-wide.
Ultra-wide. Emilio has been showing off his ultra wide and he's got me a little jealous, but I am not about to drop $1,000 on that. There's no way I can justify that. But we saw it there and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's an IPS, which I made sure because Bobby said IPS is the way you got to go these days. So I made sure about that. It has 75 Hertz refresh rate. So it was at least better than the 60. But all in all, holy shit, it's fucking amazing.
That's awesome.
When I look at those numbers and I look at what I paid versus what you paid,
yeah,
you know. But then again, I haven't sat down and looked at you, but I mean, it looks cool from the outside.
Yeah, I haven't had a complaint yet.
It doesn't have speakers. I spent $750.
Hardware envy is a real thing. It's just like a girl walking down the street looking at somebody's Louis Vuitton bag and being like, oh, I fucking need that.
But Amelia, I don't Louis Vuitton me. He did. He fucking Louis Vuitton me. But normally they get the more expensive one because they saw, oh, you dropped $1,000, I'm going to drop $2,000.
I didn't even know I was doing that. I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
I know, but no, I kind of had a little bit of that because when I went home, I land with my brothers and getting to see my little brother for his birthday, gifted himself a 1080 Ti and he installed that into his brand new NXZT mid tower or some type of tower. It's the exact same tower I have, except like a small, like one step smaller. Mm. So it was like taking everything, like all of his guts, rebuilding his PC. That was a lot of fun. I got to fuck with my brother's computer, and I was like, wow, this is like the dreamer setup for me, gamer den all around. He had a really nice Corsair keyboard that like lit up like chroma colors or whatever it was. That was really nice. And now I just finally realized how shitty my webcam is. Like, if you think I look like shit on my stream, it's because my webcam is shit.
But
so
you can get a viable one for $60.
I have a brand new wish list just because that Louis Vuitton envy. Yeah. Like, I saw what these guys have. I had some good stuff, but there are plenty that I'm missing out on.
Yeah.
And, like, I used to love my keyboard, but after using my big brother's keyboard,
it was
like,
a mechanical one?
Mine's mechanical. His is mechanical, but, like, just the way my hands felt on his keyboard. I was like, wow, little slice of heaven, never knew it existed.
He had the hand warmer too.
Yeah,
he
did.
He just had a really nice setup. All my brothers, like both of my brothers do. So
I just want to bring up another, can you bring this game up so Emilio can see it? It's called Feria.
Is this under highlights and lowlights?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Feria. It's a free-to-play card game.
Yeah, I was going to say, straight up sounds like a free-to-play game.
It's a free-to-play card game that just recently came out. And I wanted to give it a go because it seemed a little bit different. So it kind of has the combination board and card games that's
Which
going on.
Which seems to be a trend now.
But it's not a board like you traditionally think of a board. It's more of you putting down your mana, and you have to cross the mana, so you can put two normal squares down, or you can put one mountain down, or you can put one forest down, or you can put one swamp down, or a desert, I forget what it's called.
And it's like your land is physically represented
exactly
in the game.
And I thought that was a really cool idea because your land can't be attacked, but you can only place your guys on your own land, so you're kind of strategically. And I've never seen where you could take over somebody else's land. Mm. So you're kind of deciding about where to put your land and all. But then it's just a straight up Magic or Hearthstone or whatever. They've got attack and defense, and they take damage, and it's persistent. So you can see in the pictures that we're seeing, like some of them are yours versus theirs. But I was enjoying it. It was a good time, free to play. They haven't tried to sell me on money, anything. I just want to bring it up because it was cool. Because in my mind, when I played Magic when I was young.
This is what you were picturing?
Yeah. I was picturing this land growing up and then adding to my power and stuff like that. So
awesome.
It just felt like I was playing Magic in my head with more of a physical aspect to it. So it was cool. Again, it's called Feria, Faeria. So
maybe we'll play against each other.
Yeah,
sounds like the new club opening up in Hilltrust.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm sorry, that was a local calling out. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's like, let's drive down.
We got one more.
I played a very little bit, maybe 20 minutes of Fury.
Furi.
Yep, Furi.
But explain why this kind of came up.
I don't know why it came up. You told me to play it.
Okay, so I was watching Zero Punctuation, which I haven't watched Zero Punctuation in like 6 months or a year or longer.
That's what I do, and then I come back and watch everything
that
interests me.
So I was doing it, and he had the games of 2016, his like top five, mediocre five, bottom five, and this he listed on as number two overall on his top five list, and none of us had really played it. So I was like, okay, if Zero Punctuation's given it a top five and we haven't played it, like,
do you know how I know this game?
Oh.
This was a freebie off of the PSN network.
Oh, gotcha.
Believe it or not. So that's, I haven't played it.
Part of the PSN Plus thing. Gotcha. Yeah, so I looked at the game. I was like, this game really isn't for me, but I think Emilio might be interested in playing it. And obviously, Bobby had it on his games list.
So Team Tom,
good old
Oh, Team Tom.
Yeah. Oh, Team Tom. Wow. Haven't heard that name in a while.
So anyway,
getting into it, it's a boss battle game. There is no levels. There is nothing. There is story, boss. And the bosses are kind of like a level because they take a long time to beat.
Definitely looks like a brawl, though, in terms of...
Dude, it's like Dragon Ball Z. You're super powered.
Okay.
They're super powered. You're blinking around. You're doing all this stuff. And they pulled it off. I mean, it looks like you're playing an anime when you're playing this. It looks like you're watching some crazy, super powered people going against each other. And then from time to time, you're like, oh, shit, I'm doing this stuff. Because they made it pretty easily.
Isometric, though, right?
Isometric
or top down, something like that.
Very close to each other. You blink around, you got powered attacks. It makes you feel like you and whoever you're fighting are equally powered, but in different ways. So you kind of have to figure out, you know, it's all about patterns and it's boss battles. Now the story in between, a lot of it is, it's pretty weird. It reminds me a lot of Afro Samurai.
Oh, okay.
How, like, he was traveling, and there was, like, this spirit that's following him and coaching him along and kind of making fun of him at the same time. A lot like Afro Samurai. I don't know if I could recommend it yet. I only just got to the second boss. Definitely very strange. If you look at it and you like the look of it, I can recommend it. But I can't guarantee that everybody's going to like the way it looks and the way it plays. No, play is there. Looks and feel is another thing completely. It's just strange. Strange on purpose.
Hmm.
Yeah, so maybe more on that next week.
Definitely some Blink Ninja Master.
Yeah, it seems like a game that if you watch like a pro play, you'd be like, oh, shit, this game's the bomb,
yeah.
Right? All right, what else we got?
I think it's time for
my mobile corner, which
I haven't heard this in a while.
Did you want to try the new one?
There's a new one.
Do we want to? I thought we voted no on newest.
It's the Chad's Not Mobile Corner.
I don't have to pee. My contact is in the back of my eyeball. So I'll be back. Chad's Mobile Corner. Chad's Mobile Corner. Chad's Mobile Corner.
Chad's Mobile Corner.
No mobile.
I hate mobile gaming right now.
Oh my gosh, that's actually really impressive. I like that.
Okay, so thanks, Recycled. Appreciate that.
Recycled, that was the best. It's awesome.
So I said last week that I was over it, but the Tech Knight recommended one that was a paid forward game. So I said, fuck it, I'll pay the $2, I think, for it. And it's a game called Zip Zap.
Why do mobile games have the stupidest name. I brought this up before, but it's just like...
Okay. It's a physics-based game, and it's actually a lot of fun. It's a super simplistic game. You get in, you kind of have to do one little thing, and you go on to the next game. But it's all physics-based, so you kind of never know what's happening. You got to kick these balls around sometimes, and you don't know how strong it's going to be. You got to kind of work at it. But it's a lot of fun. $2 is the perfect amount. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet, but I've gotten pretty far. Oop, sorry. All in all, it's a really fun game. So I highly recommend it. Zip Zap, again, it's called. So yeah, that's it for me.
It's like an interactive puzzle game? What's the goal?
It's a puzzle game, but it's all physics-based.
Okay.
So it's you having to figure out how to get it to work and then actually accomplishing it because it's not like you have to time it right to get the physics to work out for it. So
it looks like that the parts they use for these puzzle games are those little construction toys that you had.
What is it called? Erecta sets or something?
No, poly something.
Yeah. No, it's that sounds familiar.
Erecta sets or something like that. But anyways,
that sounds dirty. But
it does.
It couldn't be
erection sets.
It could be that. But it's like what every parent would get their boy, you know, to encourage them to be like an engineer when they grow up.
Yeah. Except all he does is break it.
Yeah.
Yeah, build it up just to break it down.
Yeah, but anyways, that's it for mobile this week.
All right.
That's all. I'm still playing my...
I said this to someone.
Sorry, Bobby. You got outvoted.
Well, I had to like slide in really quick.
That's what she said.
Because you were saying about buying that to make more like more engineer thinking or whatever. Is this next generation going to have the most engineers ever because of Minecraft? Or did we bring this up?
Wait a second. What about that iPhone app that teaches kids how to program while playing a game?
Yeah,
I don't know about that one.
Mentioned that before.
There's a couple games like that, but yeah. I think the possibilities are there.
Nothing as big as Minecraft. Is it going to have effect on the workforce in the future?
I don't think Minecraft affects it any more than Legos did when we were kids.
Probably has an effect on the workforce right now.
Yeah, seriously, people not playing or not working and playing. Oh, I don't know. I think we all, every generation had their stuff that we did that we created.
You can't create computer programs inside of Legos, dude. People are making fully functioning.
Not like, 4-year-olds though.
Yeah, but they're not also adults either, a lot of them.
No.
I don't know. I don't know who I was talking to. It was a mom, I think. She was talking about Minecraft, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, at least they're playing something creative. And then I had the thought for the first time, this might be, we might have the biggest wave of engineers ever because of this, I think, personally.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't turn into an engineer, and I played Legos constantly.
I think there's a huge difference between Legos and Minecraft. Huge difference.
Okay.
One, you have only so many Legos. At the other one, you have infinite Legos.
Not me. I had infinite buckets. Buckets of the shit. Right, I spread them all over the floor.
Go. Yeah, that's a whole
nobody want to have a category. Deep conversation.
It's too far into the podcast.
How long those
go. Yeah.
We got some listener questions.
We do have a lot to go.
All right. So this one's coming from Captain Crunch. Love the cereal. How do you get
love
past
the cereal?
Yep. Except it cuts the roof of your
mouth. Hate it. Yeah. Berries. Hate it.
A little side note.
It's the only cereal that damages you.
No, it makes you shit green.
Well, that
whoa.
I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
Do you know why Captain Crunch is shaped the way it is? A little side note.
They're little barrels.
Yeah, they're supposed to imitate the treasure chests. They look like the treasure chests.
Hmm. What?
The more you know.
The yellow pieces? You
yeah, the Captain Crunch pieces. They're supposed to look like treasure chests.
And you open them up for a world of fucking
a world of pain.
Yeah. I hate it.
But they're so delicious. It's worth it. Every time I eat them, I'm wrecked for 2 days.
You gotta let it soak in the milk a little
bit. No. I want them crisp.
You gotta have them crispy.
I completely disagree. I like soggy cereal.
No, you don't have to be soggy.
No,
I like soggy.
If you like soggy cereal, you're a cereal
off.
Killer.
We're getting a little off here.
No, you are a cereal killer. I'm locking my door from
know.
Now on. Every time I go to bed tonight,
I get it now.
Holy shit.
Okay. You guys go eat a bowl of all berries and try not to shit green. I'm just telling you. Okay,
all right, we'll do a deal. I'll eat super soggy ones and you eat super crisp ones and we'll see who's having a worse time.
She's anything.
Yeah.
Make sure it's not green.
I don't eat cereal anymore. I cut out cereal.
She shits baby shit green colors. Who would have known?
Bobby, please.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on, Bobby.
All right. Well, he asks, how do you get past game burnout? For instance, when you look at all the games you do and don't have and think you don't want to play any of this.
Super easy. I only play games for 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh, God.
And then I review them with scathing reviews.
You know, this is a problem I hear a lot of people mention. Like, they just, nothing intrigues them. All the new games that are out just don't look interesting, and all the games they have, they don't want to play. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, especially for me, I have 5,600 games, and it feels like there's
and he's
to
better
play
than us. Yeah. What he implied right there.
5,600 games in my library, folks.
Yeah.
But, you know, it feels like you have nothing to play, but you have all these games, and it's. I always used to mention on old podcasts, maybe like a year ago, this book, and this dude gave a TED talk about the paradox of choice, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah.
When you have too many options, how it prevents you from making choices because you're always concerned that you're going to make the wrong choice or the choice you make won't be optimal. And I definitely get stuck in that. I mean, for me, it's always a go-to Heroes of the Storm, but sometimes I like to take chances on games and I'll just pick one out at random. I don't know. It's a tough spot to be in because you can have, I don't know. There's just so many games out there that are just so similar. It's like, what do you,
Not only that, half the time you don't even have to bother playing the games. With things like Twitch streaming, you get basically mm-hmm. what you're trying to get out of, like, discovering a new game or learning what you need about a new game without experiencing it yourself. So yeah. It is a way where in playing video games, you're not even playing them at all anymore these days. You're watching other people play them, and it's a half or in all the experience that you need out of a new title in its own, especially if those who are a little bit limited in terms of like what they have in their game library. It's I watch a lot of Twitch streams just to do my homework before purchasing a game as well.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. I personally, I think the idea of game burnout is a little silly because this is what you do for fun. Mm-hmm. And yeah. if it's not fun, you shouldn't be doing it. So, like, if you're burnt out, you shouldn't be playing games. Personally, I go through game burnout frequently, and I have to kind of power through it because I'm on a podcast and need to play games to do it.
But it's hard when you can't beat any boss ever.
It's true. God, you only play the first stage of every game. Yeah. I have been watching a lot of esports, and that's kind of like
that's vicariously
from now on.
Yeah. You're being the winner. You're like enjoying the game.
Chad's only going to review tutorials from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all he can pass.
I will be the tutorial master. I was thinking about this, by the way, when it was just the three of us on last week, and I'm James.
Just the three
I'm
of
James
us.
May
you
from
guys had
Top Gear.
Tagler.
Oh yeah,
here.
Captain Slow.
On, yeah, I'm Captain Slow. He's obviously what's his name. The main guy,
yeah,
and that makes you the short guy. You're the short.
What the fuck,
the short guy. That's funny.
Oh,
yeah, that's you.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
You got your part right. The other one, I think we're kind of mixed, but nobody knows what we're talking about.
Everybody knows Top Gear. What the fuck?
Yeah. As for me though,
it's the most watched produced show in the world.
Yeah. If you don't know what Top Gear is,
I mean, I know.
Read a book.
I don't really watch.
Read a book.
Yeah. As for me, for Captain Crunch,
TV Guide.
I do get game burnout, being that I start a lot of games and never really finish them. And
except the 12 that you've guaranteed us that you will get done by the end of the year.
It's not the end of the year yet.
Okay.
You know, get at me. Okay, bother me then, but right now, no.
Okay.
There's still time. There's still time. But anyways, when it comes to game burnout, there are a lot of times where I'm like, for instance now, PUBG, I am so obsessed with that game. No other game interest me whatsoever. So how do I get back into playing other games? And I'm doing it right now, and it's what really attracts me to PC gaming that console gamers don't, or like hint, like any people who are gamers but not, you know, hardcore PC community gamers, where all I have to do to be interested in a new game is listen to somebody talk about a game that they're playing and or enjoying or recommend. Selling is the transfer of enthusiasm. And if you want to be sold on any game, just talk to somebody who...
Or listen to this podcast.
Or listen to this podcast or just talk to
somebody. Because we got lots of good ones we recommend.
And what I love about PC gaming is that you get to share experiences and get easy on-the-fly recommendations and really not go, you know, like make a decision on what you want to play based on, like, you know, the community that has played so and so many games.
True.
Like, not everybody's going to like, you know, one person's recommendation, but there's so many other people out there. And it's just really, you know, maybe trusting somebody. Like, there's this one friend that is my go-to for all movie recommendations. Mm-hmm. And it's just talking. And I feel like if you can't conjure up your own enthusiasm, leech off of somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. And don't feel like you always have to be playing a game. You can take a month off of PC gaming and come back.
Two years of straight up.
A month. Come on now.
No, come on. Obsessive. No, okay, Smoochie, I...
Keep listening to the podcast.
I'm a lifelong gamer, but there was 2 years in my life where I did not play any PC video games, and it's because I was too busy chasing boys. And that fucking...
Emilio
sucked.
Did the same thing a couple years ago.
I regret all of it. Boys are never worth it.
Boys are never the answer.
Nope.
All right, next question. Bobby, hit us up with it.
Next question coming from Admiral Beef. Last podcast, you mentioned your love for Devolver Digital. I also love their stuff. Have you played Strafe yet?
I saw Strafe, and I thought about giving it a go, but the overall was so bad that I decided not to. But Admiral, if you got a different, because what's the?
I wonder the way he's like, I love their stuff, but have you played this piece of shit?
I think that's
kind of like maybe what he's getting at.
Okay, so maybe he's saying
maybe
this is one that they came out with that sucked.
There was a little buzz about Strafe because it's an old school first person shooter, but it's also
looks like Doom.
That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a 90s Twitch shooter style game. I actually thought about giving a copy to Bobby because I kind of wanted to see him play it.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this game. I would love to play it. At $20, I'm not going to jump on it right away, but this is definitely something I'm going to get into at some point.
I feel like Bobby would be the nostalgia gamer of the group.
He's the opposite of Amino.
Yeah.
Like, Bobby just cares about nostalgia, and Bobby and Amino couldn't give
a
shit.
In case you guys are wondering, he's this right here, me and him, is why it works. Yep. You guys are like ornaments on a tree. Make it a little bit better.
We shit shine that poop.
Yeah. So, straight for view incoming at some point.
Cool. What else?
Let's see. Flying Hawaiian had a question. Now, I feel like we've answered this one. If you all had programming or graphics design knowledge in the world, design knowledge, what PC game would you create? We've talked about games that we've made.
But I think this is a little bit different. The way I interpret this is like if you were actually the guy actually writing the code. Like we were saying before, I think the Surge was so masterfully created because they're using the same things over and over and over and yet make it feel new. That's how you can write a little bit of code and make it look so impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'd probably, especially starting off, I'd definitely make a roguelike or...
Souls-like.
I wouldn't make a Souls-like. I'd make a roguelike. Something like...
The Binding of Isaac.
No, Everspace. It's gorgeous, and it's a roguelike, and you just keep reusing all those same things that I did, but every time feels like a new playthrough.
Yeah, for sure.
So, personally.
My answer is MMO, done right.
Yeah. No, yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Like, you're not 100,000 or 200 people. You're one guy.
Yeah.
Okay, previously MMO.
Done right.
Previously before, to answer this question differently, the last time we had this question, I think I said World of Warcraft VR, but you know, for the modern gamer. But now what I would think of is I want to create a game that I haven't really seen before where you kind of take it's almost like a time rift game where you take somebody completely out of their, putting a samurai, like a real samurai who only knows how to operate a sword, into a like dead space station where there's fucking aliens and shit, and just seeing like how the fuck does that samurai get by without knowing how to push a fucking button? You know, it's like,
what was that
I think
thing?
That would be interesting.
Not very well, like, probably.
A time rip. Yeah, exactly. No,
well, arguably a samurai would do better in a post-apocalyptic zombie-filled space than a guy with a gun.
Maybe.
Right? Yeah. Arguably.
Bobby?
I can't think of anything. I can't think of a... I don't know what I want in a game.
Hot 3.0.
We'll do it for you.
Okay. Curated by Bobby.
80s world with dinosaurs, but there's cowboys in there, and you have to do some hacking involved.
Where did the cowboys come from?
I don't know.
Because of quadrilateral cowboy. Yeah.
There's no cowboys in that game, though.
I was actually thinking Red Dead Redemption, because last week you had said that you were kind of... You'd be down for that. All right, next question.
Hots with dinosaurs, basically.
Hots with dinosaurs.
He would use his minimal...
There's going to be raptors in there. That's a new mount coming out.
Ooh.
For the...
Oh, you're not interested in that one at all, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm going to get the Master's version of it, too.
It's not BattleNet anymore, guys. It's BobbyNet.
Yeah, it's true. All right, last question. What else we got?
All right, last one comes again from Admiral Beef. Which will be a bigger esports draw, Overwatch or PUBG? I know Blizzard has money behind Overwatch, but I think PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, is better for esports/TV streaming viewing. Matches are 25 to 30 minutes long. There's good tension and build up. The action can be followed by a spectator cam, and the final showdown is exciting to watch. So, in regards to being an esport, I don't think there's going to be any push behind PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds to be an esport, is there?
There are a couple tournaments. Yeah. There's a tournament recently, like a big one.
I think it's a great game to watch, like in a stream. But as far as an esport goes,
I think I would much rather watch PUBG than Overwatch
I
because
would.
it's more of a sport. Like, you can see from distance and you can see what this team's doing versus what that team's doing. And then zoom in on the action, and then that action happens, and then, you know, you have a little time to go back.
This game is early access and it plays like early access. I would be so frustrated trying to watch a competitive game where there are so many graphical and computer faults, where there is just no fair playing ground. And then but the appeal to PUBG in terms of not just only how a round plays out, but there's a lot of basically it's not all strategy because there's so many different spawn points for equipment and
but it's how you navigate that randomness.
Yeah, basically. So there, like with every other esport that I can think of right now, there's always one foundation, one core, you know, map. Players' ability.
Most esports have the randomness taken out of it. You're right.
Yeah. So whereas here with PUBG, there's so many stray elements that would affect the gameplay. There's not one true factor, which is what I like about it, which is what makes it appealing.
Yeah.
That would give like the best shot in PUBG could still freaking lose due to strategic strategic elements.
Yeah.
How often is how well you do on PUBG due to, I say, being graced by the circle gods? If you're in the center of the circle and it just closes in on you, yeah, you're guaranteed top 10.
Yeah,
You're invading another circle, anyway.
The one thing I would say about PUBG as a potential esports draw is I don't know of another esport that has more than two teams going at each other. You know what I mean? Counter-Strike, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm. Like, if you're talking about a four-person team, you're talking about 25 teams in a going
that's
at each other.
That's really fucking awesome. Really good point.
I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I mean, no,
I think it's a great thing.
Structure, a different format.
Yeah,
it would be great if only.
Yeah.
Yeah, if only the game was actually fully developed.
Yeah,
that's my
that's
only frustration right
in
now.
The future.
Yeah. Yeah, in the future.
He says we will.
But you'd still need a 1v1 style map, I think, to even because even if you start with 25 people and you whittle down the teams, 25 teams, and you whittle them down, at some point you got to make a decision. Either that, or you just play 10 matches, and then based on points, somebody wins. You know what I mean? It's like I don't know.
It is tough. Maybe one way to do this would be to get everybody that's prolific in this game and get them all in one game. I would watch that.
Yeah, for sure I would.
That'd be so exciting.
But that would be more like
it wouldn't be like a tournament.
Yeah, it would just be like a.
It'd be a.
Wouldn't
spectacle.
It though?
It would be a
every
spectacle.
Game of PUBG a tournament.
Isn't
every game of PUBG a tournament?
I know, but like, I don't know. It would be a whole different style.
There have been tournaments, and see, I'm not a big esports watcher. That's the thing. I love the games that all the most prominent esports games: Dota 2, Counter Strike, Overwatch. Like, I am all about those actual games, but esports themselves, it's hard for me to really be that much of a fan/spectator. And I know there's tournaments that exist, there's events that existed on Twitch and all of the works. I just don't pay attention to it enough to really be able to offer much more input. They're out there, but that's the thing. I would, like, when it comes to authenticity, I would probably go with Overwatch more because it's a game that you can really refine and train and come up with certain, you know, strategies. Fully accessible strategies for both sides of the team. Whereas PUBG, there's way too much lottery implemented into it for me to like be straight up, hey, you want because skillfully, you're the better team.
Any competitive game has a group of people, a team dedicated just solely to balancing that game. And with so many random factors in a game like PUBG, it's hard to accept that as like a real test of skill, which is what people want out of an esport, I feel. Now, if you present it as
a spectacle,
just as entertainment, then that's one thing. But then how do you hand out prize money? That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. I got the perfect answer. 50 versus 50, right? Just two sides, 50 people each.
Well, it's called Arma 3.
Biggest camp fest ever.
It's called Arma 3. Just after reading this, what I would say is I think that PUBG will make, if somebody takes the time and does the real thing, I think the VODs, if edited right, a PUBG VOD would be amazing because you could see show the arrows like when they're showing nations going.
Oh yeah,
like these replays. Guys move these guys, and why that's important is so. Way edited, it would play way better than Overwatch, but unfortunately, live streamed, there's just too much going on to cover.
Those movies that who's been sharing those weekly PUBG videos?
Oh yeah, those are great.
Oh my god, love those.
Even like the 30 to 1 minute snippets.
Yeah.
Of PUBG, like I love PUBG's Reddit. I can go in there and just scroll and just watch these things because it's hilarious. And everything that everyone posts on Discord, it's hilarious. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, gee, your double head hit.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
That was really cool.
We saw that. Like, I almost got 3 headshot kills.
Bobby, wasn't that awesome, Bobby?
Bobby didn't look at it. Bobby doesn't care. No, Bobby doesn't notice me. Senpai does not notice me, guys.
Yeah,
remember
true.
When I was like, by the way, thank you to everybody, the Tech Night, I think Admiral Beef and Mr. F and Sweet, they were very helpful in helping me get through a lot of the PC complications where the whole entire time I was like 911, Bobby, please. And nothing came.
Nothing.
Like 1-800, Bobby, please.
Did you at me?
Deadline.
Discord?
Deadline. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Maybe. I don't know. But at the same time, like, you know, dial tone straight to voicemail. No help.
So. You got to know how to approach Bobby, right? You got to be respectful and at the same time. No,
leave an offering.
Speaking of which, I hit up Bobby yesterday, two nights ago. Anyways,
literally
I hit him up.
Matter.
I said, "Hey, can I get your access?" I'd already set up TeamViewer. He's like, "Yeah, yeah." And then he didn't. I assume the Heroes of the Storm match started, so he didn't start responding. So I just shot him the info to TeamView me, and just went to bed. Yeah. And the next morning, I woke up and he had set it all up. So it works on Bobby's time. It just might not work.
He's like Santa Claus.
It might
you
not work.
Out
yeah, exactly. Because he's in the middle of a match, and I'm not trying to impede on his match plan. So if you set it up, he'll get back to you. It might not be right away, but he'll get back to you.
If I look to my left, you can see his Discord is always up.
It
so
is.
If you hit him on Discord, he sees it.
Oh yeah.
Now.
Oh wait.
Now the next step after him seeing it, I don't know what happens there.
You know, if you minimize Discord, it goes into your system tray. You don't see notifications when it's down there. My Discord is not always up, actually. It's most of the time it's down there in the window. I feel like if somebody posts a video in Discord and I have it in my secondary monitor, then it'll cause latency issues.
Yeah.
In a
game. I feel you, Bobby. I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
but Bobby also leaves you at the door buzzer just hanging.
Okay, some people can't figure out how an elevator works. That's
true.
It's true.
We were bamboozled.
Hey, Bobby, we're on the way. Okay, see you soon. Hey, Bobby, we're here.
It was like the boss at the Surge.
Hey,
I
Bobby,
was just
we're
fucked.
Here. Yeah.
Like, I was boned.
Emilio, I can only do 10% damage to this elevator.
Yeah, seriously, I was fucked. All right, what else we got?
Now it's time for Bobby to get... hard.
Where?
Nice.
I don't even know if this justifies the intro to this section. I mean, we brought up Thunderbolt 3, but I think, Amelia, you had something to say about that, right?
I was just saying that...
Oh, is this Amelia gets hard?
I don't know. Where?
Thank you. Somebody.
Damn it. No, actually...
Sorry, that's I should have.
Yeah, yeah, you should have, but it's hard.
I didn't catch it.
It is a USB-C connection that apparently is super fast. It's something like 20 gigs a second or something, and Intel is pushing it out as what they're going to be supporting from now on, and not just that, but they're putting the architecture out for everybody to use. So maybe that,
what's it called?
Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah.
Or you said USB-C, which I just got a brand new HTC Bolt not too long ago, and I was like, HTC Bolt. It's a Sprint exclusive.
Right.
Yeah.
Already I'm thinking of trading it in. But regardless, the charger, I was like, wait a second, this isn't a micro
normal,
USB.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, like, what is this device? Oh my God, it's the iPhone trap. They're going to make me buy this new, you know, type of charger. It's exclusive to this type of phone. But that's good news for me because we're just quick to jump the gun. This new type of technology, it's just starting to come out and soon it'll be readily available. And it's great. It does charge my phone. Android is infamous for dying way too soon.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
At the worst times. So the fact that I could plug it in and, you know, 20 minutes later, have it fully charged again, that's great news.
No, I love the USB-C. The only thing is exactly that. There's not a whole lot of things using it right now. Mm-hmm. So I went to go buy a cable. One place was sold out because they only carry two at a time. And the other place, it was $20, but I had to buy it because I forgot mine in my hotel room. So it's not everywhere.
Oh, because this works with the Pixel? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's the Pixel and then hers. Yeah, and then also...
I talked about when I got my new MacBook Pro at work that it only had a headphone port and two USB-C ports. And I had to get a bunch of adapters to work with it. And heads up, adapters are like every single USB-C adapter is shit. Like all of them, 100% of them.
Oh,
None of them work very well. I scoured Amazon for like a decent one. I finally, after all the research, picked out one, ended up buying another one after that, and neither of them worked very well. There's just problems all across the board with those adapters. But I'm glad to hear this is going to be a little more commonplace because it's incredibly faster. And here's the great thing about USB-C. I remember them saying this way before it came out. You know how with USB 2.0, it goes in one way. You always try to stick it in. Oh, it doesn't fit. Turn it around. Oh, there it goes. USB-C doesn't matter which way you stick it in. You can do it upside down or any way you like. Just get it right in there.
Sexy.
Wow, that's what she said.
Just get it in there.
Anyways, what I noticed with my phone, and the first thing that made me notice that it was a different port, not charging the phone, I wanted to plug my phone into my auxiliary cord for my car, and it doesn't have one. My phone decided it didn't need any headphone port. I only had the option to use USB-C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's frustrating.
It works though, right? As an aux?
Well, I don't have an adapter, and Bobby's telling me all adapters are shit. So I am going to just get a Bluetooth adapter.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't even thinking about
Bluetooth
getting...
Bluetooth is the way to go in a car.
Yeah, now when I think of my phone, I think of Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for sure.
If you use a USB to USB-C cord, you can charge and have an aux at the same time.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So there is, you don't always want a Bluetooth.
Yeah, for sure.
Still an extra step, though.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, hopefully we'll
technology
start seeing
is just
pop up more.
Too fast.
Like, I think we will. I mean, basically the reason I put this in here is Intel is pushing all systems go towards it. So all their motherboards will be compatible with Thunderbolt 3.
All right,
Bobby, we can skip that last little bit if we're running along.
So next week, what's it looking like for everybody?
A whole lot of PUBG. Won't even lie.
Okay, wait, let me guess. Bobby's gonna play HOTS, she's gonna play PUBG, you're gonna play Binding of Isaac and Everspace.
I mean, we're gonna do other things, Chad.
Oh, my bad.
Did you not see my double headshot KO?
Yeah.
And the fact that I won two squad games back to back.
Wow.
I mean, how could you stop playing PUBG after that success?
I love PUBG, so I'm not gonna tell you not to play PUBG. I don't know what I'm gonna play because I want to play the Surge, but I don't think I can get past the first boss. So I know how to do it.
No.
I know the pattern. I'm just incapable of doing the pattern.
At that point, you know how girls, wait, this is how I imagine Chad. You know how girls, when they can't open the pickle jar, they're just like, do it for me.
Yeah.
And the Chad just needs to do that, but you are going to have to be the man.
Do it for me.
I was on mushrooms once.
It's like passing the pickle jar. Exactly.
I was on mushrooms once, and I was talking to a girl who was on mushrooms too, and she was like, "Yeah, I live alone I live with another girl in Australia." And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "Two girls living together?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "What do you do when you can't open a jar?" She said, "She's like, just throw it out." She's like, "What am I going to do? Wait for another dude to come over?"
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It's like, we just don't eat pickles anymore. That's it.
Yeah. So I'm going to play the Surge.
I am going to probably play, I don't know, PUBG.
Yeah.
Everspace.
And
I want to play it right
I'm going to play PUBG plus one. We'll find out what the plus one is.
By the way, we have a bad lineup of motherfuckers on our chicken dinner every day. Five people. Mr. F and Sweet got it 2 weeks in a row. I mean, two games in a row.
Yeah. Jan's got a solo win out of like his first three games. That was pretty cool. That's impressive.
So if you're looking for people to play, again, jump on our Discord.
All day, our day.
DLGaming.net. Hit us up.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, anything else?
Let's see. I'm probably going to be playing. I've actually
Ooh,
been
Binary had a 14
Prey.
Kill. Wow, damn. That's nice. That's impressive.
But yeah, I'm still grinding through Prey. I want to finish that game. I want to see it through to completion.
Oh, nice, nice.
So I've been getting through that game, and I've been streaming a lot more lately. I've been turning that on the weekends, and even some of my ranked play, my team league ranked play, I turned it on for that. I can't really pay attention to the chat or be entertaining, although I'm not very entertaining to begin with, but I think it was
Amen to that.
I enjoy Bobby's streams.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes I go in there and he doesn't acknowledge me, but what's
yeah,
new?
Yeah, no, I mean...
What's new?
He doesn't acknowledge the plugs.
I'm pretty bad at acknowledging chat sometimes. I will admit that. But, yeah, I'm going to try to stream some more rank because that's
Jesus
fun stuff.
Christ.
Yeah, but that's it for me.
Cool. Close this up.
Sure. Oh, man, I had it.
Quadrilateral titties?
Oh, man, that would have been good, but yeah. Now you already stepped all over it.
Well
you can switch
thunder,
it up to cowboy titties.
Steal the thunder from, you know, Memphis.
Damn it! There goes another one.
Quarterly corkage titties.
100 titties jumping out of an airplane to kill each other titties, people. Let's go. Let's go, champ.